great to have everybody here tonight. I'm Barbara Collier, and I get to speak tonight. I'm very excited about speaking on the subject for the women. Let's get started with the prayer. Father, thank you for this time we have just as women to study your word and to apply it to our lives, God. I really pray that your scriptures would speak very powerfully tonight. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you, God, for its truth and its wisdom and its power, God. I pray that we can have great fellowship tonight also, God, about the things that we see in the word that we really need to change and that we really need to encourage others with. Please be with the women that can't be here tonight, Father, with sickness or discouragement or troubles at home, God. I pray that you would comfort them. I pray that we would keep our eyes out for them and follow up with them, God, and encourage them with whatever we have to share, God. Thank you for this time, and I pray that your spirit would be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I get started, one quick thing about the International Sunday. Bridget and Nancy, who are working very hard to pull it together, the dinner rather, say that they've only heard from three of the family groups. So they need a response by this weekend of the kind of food that your group is going to be bringing. And so far, people have responded with American, Latin, and Caribbean food. So you have other choices that you can make, or just email them if you have any other questions about what you're going to be doing. Okay, turn your Bibles to Proverbs 4. I hope you guys have enjoyed the classes we've had over the past 6 weeks or so. They have been just really, really great. I've been going over some of the material that we've studied with the marrieds over 15 years. And there's so much that I need to put into practice. They really have been encouraging, challenging, very practical lessons. So it's been great. I think it's been great to have classes for our own stages in life and that we can just go forward with that and really make it work. Tonight's topic relates to everybody. So everybody gets to be in here tonight. And we're going to read in Proverbs 4, verse 23 to get started. Solomon says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The King James Version says, keep thy heart with all diligence. So I'm going to talk tonight about guarding our hearts. In preparing for this class, I decided to study out the heart in the scriptures. I've been doing this all month, and it turned out to be a huge study because so many scriptures on the heart. In the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I'm not nearly done. I still got, lots I need to go through. But I hope that what I share with you will really help you in some way. So when I started out, I wondered. I was like, why does the Bible, why does a lot of literature, poetry refer to the heart? I mean, you just hear it constantly. It's kind of like it just rolls off your tongue. And it's like, what is it about the heart that makes such a common illustration? And I have a nursing background, as most of you guys know me. And so I went back to the basics of the heart in anatomy and physiology to start thinking about it. And it really helped bring the scriptures into a clearer light. Last month when we had our women's class, Sarah brought in a model of the heart that Mary Joy had loaned her in our class. And I'm like, hey, that's kind of my idea. That's my class. But anyway, if you remember from her class, the ones that were in there, she had this prop, and she told us the heart is about the size of two fists if you put them together. And it actually sits right in the middle of your chest, and it sits off to the left a little bit. Sometimes we hold our hand way over here, but it's actually right in the middle. And it's slightly to the left, and it's covered by our breastbone, the sternum right there. It's covered by the lungs. It's covered by our ribs. And it's covered by a special sac called the pericardium. So it's really well protected, and it's very concealed also. Now think about what the heart does. So what happens is it's, it brings the blood from all over the body. It doesn't have any oxygen in it, and the heart pumps it out to the lungs so we can have oxygen. Then it pumps it back to the heart, and then it pumps it out to all the extremities, all the vital organs, and to the blood supply of the heart as well. That's a huge job. And just a couple of facts about the process. The heart beats 100,000 times a day. And it weighs only about 11 ounces on the average. But a healthy heart pumps 2,000 gallons of blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels every day. That's a wellspring of life, wouldn't you say? I was like, oh, okay, now I get that phrase. And if you grab a tennis ball, think about, you know, what it takes to kind of grab it and squeeze it. That's about the force that the beating heart takes to pump the blood with each beat. It's a strong muscle. So the heart has to be strong. It has to be fit to keep on going, to nourish the whole body with blood. And that's why a healthy diet, exercise are so important. But we don't have time to talk about that today. Now, let's apply this spiritually. I looked up in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. Cardia, which is the Greek word for heart, it's used figuratively, very widely, for the feelings, the will, and the intellect. Aristotle, I found out, this Greek philosopher, believed that the heart collected sensory input from the peripheral organs, the ones that are kind of at the, you know, the ends of the body, through the blood vessels, producing thought and emotions. So this is where the term heartfelt came from. And I looked up in my NIV study Bible, and it said in one of the notes, quote, "In biblical language, the heart is the center of the human spirit from which spring emotions, thought, motivations, courage, and action." Now let's go back to our text in Proverbs. You know, I started the study with studying out the first four chapters of Proverbs, and there's so many references to wisdom. Solomon commending it as essential. You know, wisdom, you've got to search for wisdom. You've got to find it. I'm like, well, how is this connected with the heart? I thought. And the key is found in chapter 1 of Proverbs. Let's turn there. It's a sobering passage, but it starts starting in verse 20, chapter 1. It says, "Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateway of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you." That's not very encouraging, most of it, but look at verse 23. "If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you." So Solomon describes the relating of wisdom as a pouring out of the heart. It's like a fountain which refreshes and strengthens. You see the connection? That fountain is like the wellspring of life. And we don't have to turn there, but there's other Proverbs that illustrate the same way. Proverbs 10, verse 11, Proverbs 13, 14, and Proverbs 18, 4. Same thing, same illustration about that fountain. So this is great stuff to incorporate in our lives. When we think about that, it's all good to let wisdom in our hearts. Let us grow spiritually and mature. Because wisdom really changes everything. Let's look over in chapter 2. I'm going to read the first five verses. "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your heart to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." It's all good stuff. Wisdom changes everything. If you open up your heart to wisdom, your character will be transformed. You're then saved from a lot of heartache, as well as a lot of life in the darkness. You know, this is guarding our hearts when we seek out after the good stuff that Solomon's describing. And this may seem kind of, and this is kind of where I had a hard time studying this out. I was like, this seems kind of way spiritual, you know, secretive, kind of up in the sky kind of stuff, kind of broad. But Proverbs is great because it doesn't stop with these basic themes and, you know, spiritual ideas. It gets very specific. So we're going to get specific now about what Proverbs can teach us about guarding our hearts and specifically against sin. Look over in chapter 3. Now, singles, I know that Alan kind of spoke to this passage in one of your classes, so I hope I'm not completely repeating it. But he says in chapter 3, verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." So this passage shows us three things that I found we need to apply to our hearts. And the first thing is God's teaching and commands. Back in verse 1, he says, "Do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart." And this word, keep, is the same word in the Hebrew as the Proverbs 4:23 scripture we read. Keep, remember, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, or guard your heart. It's the same word. So God is telling us to guard the commands, protect them. So think about, are you protecting God's commands, or are you ignoring them? Are you trying to justify yourselves out of keeping God's commands? Married sisters, are you submitting to and respecting your husbands? As Ephesians 5:22 and 33 teach. Mothers, are you disciplining your children biblically? Are you doing this only when it's convenient? Remember Proverbs 23:13. Alan spoke about this a couple weeks ago. "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with a rod and save his soul from death." That is very clear, very specific on how God wants us to discipline our children. And are we really disciplining their hearts? Or are we just trying to, you know, keep their behavior in tow? Or do we discipline out of anger? Proverbs 15:28, "The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil." So sometimes it takes patience. It takes stepping back from a situation and thinking about, you know, what we need to do. And this is hard. This is hard work. Raising children is the hardest thing I've ever done. I have three teenagers, and bringing them up through those tiny years was very tough. We've got to be righteous parents. Their souls are on the line. This is very serious business. And overall, are we letting God's word permeate our lives? You know, I think about Jackie Flowers. Jackie here tonight? No. Teens? What does Jackie do at every baptism? She always shares a scripture for the person that's getting baptized. She's got her Bible out, and she flips to it. She thinks ahead of time how to use the scriptures and teach and encourage the kids. She loves them so much, and she takes care of them that way. So she's obviously in her Bible a lot. I need to be like that. That's a great example. Okay, the second thing I noticed in this passage that we need to apply to our hearts is the love and faithfulness. In verse 3, Proverbs 3, verse 3, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." And the word love here means kindness and mercy. Are we kind? Are you kind to others in your heart, in your actions, in your words? Does it really show? You know, we have to kind of go deep to think about why we are, why we aren't here, to figure all this out. In Matthew 12, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." So what's inside, sisters? What's inside your hearts? Is there envy or jealousy? Proverbs 14, verse 30 says, "Envy rots the bones." Ouch. What about bitterness? Proverbs 14:10, "Each heart knows its own bitterness." Now that tells me you know, kind of, we keep it very safe and close to us. We know it very deeply. We know bitterness. We know what it relates to. What does your mouth speak or fail to speak? You know, I think oftentimes we lack kindness just because we're selfish.
Yeah.
And we just fail to show it. You know, it just takes a little thought and time to encourage somebody with a phone call, an email, or a few words in fellowship. But that means so much,
yes,
just to be brought back to center, reset your minds by somebody else.
Amen.
You know, Karen Schultz is great at this.
That's right.
She goes above and beyond. Mm-hmm. If you're her close friend, she lets you know that. You get handmade cards. You get thoughtful gifts. She brought me a set of knives because I only have one knife that I use. She loves kitchen gadgets, so now I have a set of knives for my birthday. It was great. She gives you parties. I mean, she's amazing at this. She treasures her relationships. That's why. That's why she does that. And I thought about speech, our speech, too, a little bit. In Proverbs 22, verse 11, it says, "He who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend." And in our Wednesday morning Bible class, we've been doing this study on the quiet and gentle spirit from 1 Peter 3. And we talked a lot about gracious speech, haven't we? The women that have been in that group. Just think about your speech. Specifically, we talked about our speech with our husbands. But in general, is it kind and gracious? Or is it snippy? Is it demanding? Is it bossy? So that's a lot to think about just in just a few ways where you can, in terms of the kindness and the love in your heart. And I'll say just a little bit about faithfulness back in verse 3. The word here in the King James is truth. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. And what it conjures up is stability and realness. No hypocrisy. Speaking the truth in love. And this is a hard area for me. I've been religious all my life, and plus I hate conflict. I like everything to be nice and smooth, and I it's just very much easy for me to say everything's fine, and I'll just clip right along with my day, you know. But you got to push through and be real, and you know, dig right in there. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, one more time back in Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." The third thing we need to apply to our hearts is to trust in the Lord and lean not on our understanding. Do you really trust God? I guess something we have as women to always need to come back to. Or is your heart anxious? Is it troubled? Is it fearful? The Proverbs have something to say for all these things too. Proverbs 12:25, "An anxious heart weighs a man down." And then Jesus had some great things to say about this. Let's turn over to John 14. I hope this is making sense tonight. Down in verse 27, he's speaking to the disciples before he's has to be crucified. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So peace just isn't—it's just not something that you greet people with, and you know, pat them on the head and say nice things. This is really what Jesus was about, and you know, he had a plan for his disciples. You know, back in verse 1, he said again, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." In verse 1 of chapter 14, "Trust in God, trust in me also." There's a plan. God's got a plan. He's got a plan for us now and for eternity to be with him. So the answer for a troubled heart is trust. And that's not easy. I mean, every day you can veer off in a different direction. I know, I've been there too. And it takes wrestling with God on a daily basis to get back to that center. And I know it's harder for some people than it is for others. And And I know lots of women who do a great job wrestling. I mean, they have to wrestle every day just with all the challenges. But when we lean on our own understanding, what is that? It's pride.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. And let's be reminded what the Proverbs and God say about that. Proverbs 16:9. In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. So we may think we have it all figured out, you know. But God's in control of our way. He's going to set our course, whether we like it or not. And Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 4. Proverbs 19, verse 21. And Proverbs 20, verse 24 also emphasize the same thing. And this shows up in our lives, doesn't it? And it's not pretty. We think we know better than our husbands, when God has clearly designed for them to be the spiritual leaders of our family. We make decisions without getting advice from our husbands if we're married, or from other spiritual people. And, you know, we know the scriptures on advice. Proverbs 20:18, make plans by seeking advice. It's very clear. Can't lean on our own plans, our own understanding. You know, the church is re-emphasizing those one another, iron sharpening iron, discipling relationships. I think that is great. We all need that. Have you taken advantage of it? Have you? Does somebody in the church have your back? Have you sought that out? It's there. It's there. The scriptures are there. We're there for each other. You know, I've been a disciple for over 20 years, and Jessica and I have been friends for about that long, Jessica Mueller and I. And I can honestly say, we get together, you know, pretty regularly. Every time we're together, she tells me what's going on in her life. I mean, really tells me. She's always desperate for help. She says, because I need it so much. It's what she told me. It's like, wow, I wish I could be that real. I wish I could be that humble. She is great. It's very convicting and refreshing to be around her, and I love that. It's a great example. And scripture in Proverbs that we looked at tonight, what I love about it is that it promises us things. If we keep God's commands and teachings, they will prolong our lives and bring us prosperity. Sorry about the feedback. If we promote love and faithfulness in our lives, we will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And if we trust in the Lord and lean not on our understanding, he will make our path straight. So let's look at one more scripture to close out in Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, verse 19. Says, as water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. You know, our heart reflects our character. And that's who we really are, you know. And the good news we can look at tonight is that we have God's Word. And that's going to give us wisdom to strengthen our hearts and to make us fit spiritually. Back to that physical heart illustration from the beginning. If we use it diligently, we use God's Word and lean on God and each other, we will truly have that wellspring of life flow through us. Thank you.
Amen. That was fantastic. Didn't you think so? Thank you, Barbara. You clearly had an in-depth study. That was very obvious to see that. Very thought-provoking. It's not just something you can just sit through, but I think for me, as I listen to it, I'm like, okay, where am I at? Where's my heart at? Am I tart in my speech? Do I tend to lean on myself? So all those, as you're teaching, you know, that's what was running in my mind. And then I thought, you know, You guard what you love. You protect what you love. You care and nurture what you love. And you know, when God looks at us, he looks at our hearts. It's so easy to forget that because life is very tangible, the day to day, and we can forget to guard our hearts. And we can forget to nourish our hearts. We can forget to take care of our hearts. And I think what Barbara alluded to, as iron sharpens iron, as we just call one another back to discipling relationships, somebody watching your back, it's so crucial to us staying faithful. No man is an island. And even if we fight to be an island, because sometimes when things are going on in our lives, sometimes our natural tendency is to just pull away from people. And I think that's one of the ways that Satan really wants us to be, so that our hearts can move away from God, so that our hearts will not stay soft. And you know, we have to push through that, just like what she was saying, that her tendency, she was very open about her tendency. We've got to push through our tendencies and our ways. And get out of what is comfortable and do what is right, and the right feelings and the right results will come. And so I think, you know, when in our fellowship, let's talk about the things that stood out as she shared her Bible study. You can tell it was very broad, you know, what you went doing. And I love what you said about the strength of the muscles of the heart and all those gallons that it pushes through. But, you know, God looks at our hearts. And I think we've gotta love our heart so much to be concerned that it stays soft, to respond to God's words. Because sometimes we can just take things for granted. If we don't deal with the things in our hearts, we can read and think, and the word of God does not affect our hearts. And we can just coast. And we can just be there. And you know, in life and nature, nothing stays at this level. You either go up or you go down. And I think we've got a desire to not get comfortable. We've got a fight to not get comfortable. And so if I could just wrap my arms around what Barbara is saying, is you guard what you love. And take care of our spiritual condition of our hearts. And be radical about it. And don't get comfortable in being comfortable. And I think just being humble and saying, you know what, even if I think my thoughts are right, my way is right, we're waging a spiritual war. And the Bible does talk about if you wage a war, seek advice. And victory is sure. It doesn't mean that you don't know what you're doing, which was what I thought when I was a young Christian. Well, what do you mean I've got to seek advice? Don't I have a mind of my own? Forgetting that for the 23 years before meeting the Lord, I'd really done a lot of bad stuff. And that in itself should have told me that, you know what, you really don't know what you're doing. And so I think let's be wise. Let's love wisdom. Let's take care of our spiritual heart. If you look at things in the eternal perspective, it makes a lot of sense. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah. And to hate evil is to love God. Yeah. Amen? Amen? And so if I could have Christy, if you could pray for us. You don't have to come up since you're right in the middle. If you could pray, and then let's have a great time of fellowship. And let's strengthen one another and encourage one another. Amen? Amen.